everybody else. And here was 14.
Guys having fun yet? If not, I guess you will be. Maybe here. Got your pedometer on today? Your pedometer, so you know how many steps you took?
Yeah.
The Committee on Transportation will come to order. Folks, we're going to we're working off a base bill here that we took a lot of the activity that we've done this year and we've poured it into this omnibus bill. Most of these bills, outside of maybe two or three, are non-controversial. We voted on them here and moved them along. Some of them have House companions, some of them don't. Some of them are stuck in different committees over in the House. So we just piled them all here, and hopefully we'll work it out at the end of the day. A couple things that I want to say first is for the audience, if you could, when amendments are offered, if you could give our staff people just, you know, just a little bit of room, so like he can get over there and put them in the expandable folder, and then y'all can get them after that. But just give him a little bit of room so he can do his work. What he just dropped over there is a list of all the bills that are in this. So it kind of goes through and it gives a Senate file number, the author's name, and a brief description. Those are all the bills that we've piled into the omnibus bill here, and I'm going to move around and let Senator Carlson chair now and present the bill.
Senator Murphy would like to present the Omnibus Transportation Policy Bill. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, Senate File 1971 is the Omnibus Transportation Bill. As I said earlier, there's a list of all the bills here, so you can kind of go through, you can pick out your name and see which one of yours are in there. I think that we did a fairly decent job of taking the bills, like I said, that were laying around and maybe not going anyplace or maybe were appropriate to go into the bill because of some other faux pas along the way. But members, the first thing I need to do is make an oral amendment to the bill, and it's on page 47. And the language actually starts on page 46. And this is a slightly controversial, well, I should say it's very controversial for the department, and I'm sure that they'll want to get up here sooner or later and speak against this. But starts on page 46, and this has to do with the 65th Street interchange down by Rochester. Both Senator Lynch and Senator Sinjum have come before the committee to present different bills in regards to this intersection. Now, there's an intersection at 65th that the city of Rochester is going to foot the bill for. They're going to pay 100% of it. Unfortunately, MnDOT has thrown up one roadblock after another because they don't want it there, period. That's it. They don't want it there, and that's the reason. Now, there's some discussion about an intersection that is just down the street, a mile away, at the 55th Street. And, well, make a long story short, we're going to take care of that problem, too. The intersection at the 55th Street was built about 15 years ago. That intersection at that time was designed and built according to the city's work plan. Now it needs major upgrades because the city's grown. And in their work plan, they said the city's going to grow. Well, MnDOT designed, built the whole thing. Now it's undersized, and they want the city of Rochester to pay for it because they say, well, it wasn't in your work plan. Well, our work plan was good for 15 years. It's 15 years. Boom. So there's a little animosity between the department and the city of Rochester. So the amendment that I need to put in here is on page 47, line 3, after the word interchange, insert at 55th Street Northwest, so that it reads the entire cost of the interchange at 55th Street Northwest, design, right-of-way acquisition, and construction shall be the responsibility of the state where it belongs. Like I said, there's going to be some people that probably aren't going to be happy with that, but, you know, that's just tough. Mr. Chairman, I'd move that amendment.
Senator Murphy moves to add to line 47.3 after on page 47, after the word interchange, add at 55th Street Northwest.
Thank you.
And continuing. Any discussion?
So, members, the first part of this.
Yep. We'll.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
We'll have to vote. Greg?
All
in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
You didn't have to explain it.
You don't have to explain it.
Yeah, members, I can walk through the bill, but I think that if you take this sheet and the summary of the bill, you can take a look and you can kind of go through and make sure that your portions of the bill and some of the others are in there correctly. I'm sure that Ms. Bierzowski and Ms. Boyd got it right. So these are the bills that are in there. I'm going to just point out a couple on this sheet that are the controversial portions of the bill. One of them is Senate File 16, and that's the primary seatbelt bill. The House refuses once again to give this bill a hearing. I thought that once the chair changed, we'd at least get a hearing on the primary seatbelt bill, but it turns out that the Transportation Committee passed it overwhelmingly, and they sent it on to I want to say their Judiciary Committee, and the chair there decided that that bill, along with several others that deal with safety, that they belonged in his bottom drawer. And so he wouldn't give it a hearing. Members, you've heard me go on tirades for, you know, hours at a time about the effectiveness of using the appropriate safety equipment inside your car. Seatbelts save lives. We all know that. All we're doing is we're taking this and we're moving it from a secondary offense to a primary offense. And we're giving a we're not changing the surcharge because that kind of tripped folks up. So we're going to leave the surcharge and everything the way it was. But here, at the end of the day, this is what's going to happen. The Department of Public Safety is going to be able to put in their driver's training manuals that this is now a primary offense. You will be pulled over. Because I don't know how many times that I've been to schools, and I, 2 years ago, visited almost every high school in the district I represent to give presentations on transportation. My lead-in was always about seatbelts. And unless you go to those high schools and you talk to those 16, 17, and 18-year-olds, you don't get a good idea what's going on because there's not one of them there that didn't know what the law was. Every one of them knew, you can't pull me over for that, so I'm not going to wear it. Well, they didn't say that. A lot of them comply with the seatbelt law. They wear their seatbelt. That's a good thing. But that small percentage that doesn't knows that they can't get pulled over for that. They can't get pulled over for that, so they're not going to wear it. And they made those statements, I mean, right to me. And I'm sure that if you went and talked with high school students in your districts or around the state, they'd be able to tell you the same thing. The deal is seatbelts save lives, and, it's in the bill. The next one is the next bill down on your list. And this is Senator Carlson's raises the age to 8 for child restraint systems. And unfortunately, once again, what we found out is that there's, you know, these 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds, they can't really think on their own, but unfortunately there's, you know, they're just not in the right piece of equipment to keep them safe. And whether that's a regular car seat or a booster seat, once again, the parents need to be putting people in the appropriate restraining systems. I think Senator Carlson, and before him it was Senator Knutson and Senator McGinn, the senator you replaced, Mr. Chairman, had all carried this bill in the past. It's been a bipartisan effort, as well as the seatbelts have been. And it's time to just do it. I mean, one life lost, Senator, because they're in the inappropriate child restraint system is one too many.
Senator Murphy.
Yes.
If I might be able to add to what you're saying, one of the issues that I kept hearing is booster seats for 7-year-olds and booster seats for 80 or 90 pounders. And what I kept explaining is that this is for approved child restraints. So if you look in your owner's manual of your automobile and it says that the restraint, the seatbelt, the normal seatbelt that holds an adult is approved for children, that is adequate. So it's approved child restraint. It's approved restraint. So it carries all the way from 0 to adults now. And if you add the primary stopping for seatbelts, then that means everybody should be belted in every seat location.
Right. Well, once
Senator
again,
Murphy.
Members, it's just safety is the number one issue out on our roads. We all know that. You know, we want our kids to come home safely every night, and we want to be able to go back and forth to work with some reasonable assurance that we're going to make it to and fro and not get caught up in a deadly crash. A couple of the other bills are on the back side of the one-pager that we handed out. One of these is a bill that I have. It's 1587. It asks that the Commissioner of Transportation perform these life cycle analysis on our roads. And what we found out, and we all heard the testimony, is that, you know, MnDOT goes out and they do a lot of overlays, and it looks like they're doing a lot of work, but those overlays may only be good for 4 or 5 years. What this does is ask them to look at that life cycle cost in a broader context. So if there's a way of building the road and get more useful life out of it, another 15 years, go ahead and spend the extra money to do a better overlay or do a better reconstruction of the road instead of just maybe doing an overlay or filling in the potholes. MnDOT doesn't like this because they want to be able to make it look like they're doing a lot of things. And, you know, we all like to see our potholes being filled and overlays happening. But if we all that does is increase the price to fix the road appropriately later on. So we might as well start doing the life cycle cost now, get it out of the way, and figure out exactly what it's going to take to fix roads correctly. The other one is Senator Neville's bill, the one right below that, and that deals with the provisional driver's license modifications, the curfew, passenger restrictions. This is a bill that has been pushed forward with a graduated driver's license by AAA. They're here today. We just feel that this is another thing that's going to help our teens concentrate better on the roads and become better drivers at the end of the day, and that's what we want. Members, I would stand for questions, or we can start taking amendments. Ms. Bierzowski's back, so we kind of – I was just trying to kill time till Ms. Bierzowski was ready to go.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Murphy. I move the A-13 amendment.
Um, And, Mr. Chairman?
I'm the A1 because all the other amendments are to the A1, amending the A1.
Okay. Oh. It looks like we have to move the A1
yes.
delete all.
We have to adopt the A1 amendment.
No, we already modified the A1.
Ooh. Yes, and I would move the A1 amendment.
Okay.
As amended.
Senator Murphy has moved the A1 amendment as amended. Any discussion of that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. It's passed. And now we will entertain Senator Larson's motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move the A13 amendment.
The A13 amendment.
And maybe I can explain it as the amendment is being passed out. The Transportation Committee, actually, this is a bill that I had separately introduced. And I don't have the Senate file number in front of me. But Senator Murphy, actually, in my absence at I think the only Transportation Committee meeting I missed this year, had offered this bill for me. And this bill would just simply clarify that, in fact, parking tickets are legal in this state when the owner of the vehicle is not present when the law enforcement official tags the vehicle. There was a court case that occurred in the city that I represent that ruled that, in fact, the owner of the vehicle could not be tagged because they weren't present, that, in fact, it was their car being tagged. It's a little sort of a part of the discussion over has some of the same flavor of some of the discussion as it relates to Photocop, but this obviously has nothing to do with that. We have allow law enforcement the ability to ticket cars when they are parked illegally, and we ought to make it clear in state law that authority is available. And so, Mr. Chair, as I understand it, there was very little controversy. And I don't believe anybody testified against the bill when it was heard in committee. The bill was then passed and referred to the Judiciary Committee. While Senator Mwan and I have not had a direct conversation, my understanding is that she is not necessarily needing to see this. If that arises as a problem, Senator Murphy, I would be happy to remove it at a later date. But I think this is non-controversial.
All right, Mr. Chairman and Senator Larson,
Senator Murphy.
I was speaking with Mr. Brzozowski, but this is the language that makes it okay to write parking tickets.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
It's unbelievable that we need language so that we can write parking tickets.
It is unbelievable, Mr. Chair and
Senator Murphy,
and there are times in which we have to be really clear with some members of the court that, in fact, our laws, it is what it is, and we're clarifying that it really is what it is.
This is a good amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Any other discussion of the A13 amendment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Well, I think we had Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the A7 amendment.
Senator Dahl moves the A7 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe that'll get passed. I'll go over this quickly. I guess in my freshman year here, this is one of the bills that I should have probably got through a little bit sooner, and I didn't, but it's an agency bill. And what this does is it gives the Department of Driver and Vehicle Services the explicit authority to issue a salvage title to late model or high-value vehicles with an out-of-state certificate of title. And the problem has been the Department of Vehicle Services has lost challenges to the issuance of Minnesota salvage titles when the previous title is an out-of-state certificate of title that was purchased for payment of damages by an insurance company in another state. And what this could lead to is Minnesota becoming a title-washing state for salvage vehicles. This strengthens the language. We do have, if there's any questions, we have Pat McCormick from the Director of Driver and Vehicle Services here to answer any questions, as well as Larry Olila from the Vehicle Services Program for any questions from members.
Are there any questions on the A7 amendment? Wait till it's passed out before we vote.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, once again, this is a good amendment.
Senator Murphy supports the amendment. All in favor of the A7 amendment?
Aye.
Please signify
aye.
By aye. Oh. All opposed? Same sign. Motion passes.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Olsen.
I have the A8 amendment, but I brought troopers to talk about it, not me. It's a technical bill, and there's a number of changes, and so if we feel it's necessary, they're here to testify on the changes.
What's your number?
The A8 amendment?
A8.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olsen, this is something that the State Patrol brought forward to you?
Yep.
Okay.
It's on page 21. It's language changes about inspections and all of those kinds of things. It's language they wanted to clean up before this became a law. So,
thank you.
Any discussion on the A8 amendment? Any questions?
Just a second. You gonna come up?
Senator Murphy, you're.
Another good amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Murphy supports the amendment. All those in favor of the A8 amendment, please say aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
I have two amendments. One is an oral amendment on page 42 of the bill. On lines 42-19 and 42-22, to strike 3 and insert 2. We changed the composition a little bit of the congestion task force, and so it's going to be three members from the appointed by the Senate, three members from the Speaker's office, and 6 members from the governor. And the language doesn't read right if you say 3 people appointed, at least 3 of whom must be from the metropolitan area. So we're changing that. 3 people, at least 2 of whom must be from the metropolitan area on for both the appointments from the Senate and the House, and then for the people from the governor, it's 6 people, at least 3 of whom must reside. So that would be of the 12 people, 2, 4, 7 would have to, a majority would end up having to reside in the metropolitan area.
Senator Rest moves that on line 42-19, 3 is replaced with 2, and on 42-22, 3 is replaced with 2, which changes the membership on folks residing in the metropolitan area in those parts of the committees. Any discussion? Senator Murphy? You'd support the amendment?
Oh, yeah, this is good stuff.
Any other discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chairman.
Motion passes.
My
Senator
second
Rest.
Amendment is A-10. The A-10 amendment was part of Senate File 958, which is already in the bill, and these are the provisions dealing with data practices. The bill has been was sent to the Judiciary Committee, and this reflects the changes that the Judiciary Committee made in the data practices section, and it will also be carried in the data practices omnibus bill, and Senator Moore was comfortable with us also having a dual-track approach here and putting all of 958 in the omnibus transportation policy bill. And this language was approved by the Transportation Committee before it went to the Judiciary Committee. So I would move the A-10 amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest moves the A-10 amendment, and Senator Murphy supports the amendment. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chair.
Senator Cope.
I'd like to offer the A6 amendment.
Senator Cope moves the A6 amendment.
Mr. Chair and members, the A6 amendment is actually comes at the suggestion of the State Patrol and has to do with school bus inspections. And actually, if it would be all right, I'd like the State Patrol to come on up and
sure.
explain the amendment. Thank you very much. Sir.
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Ken Urquhart. I'm a captain with the State Patrol. I also serve as the Pupil Transportation Safety Director for the Department of Public Safety. And basically what this bill does is that at present, the State Patrol inspects all the school buses annually in Minnesota that transport children to and from school. What we're asking here is that we're asking to incorporate those school bus maintenance folks into our annual inspection and certification program. And the way that works is that we train inspectors that conduct inspections on commercial vehicles throughout the state. There's approximately 8,000 of them. And then recertify them every 2 years. And what we would like to do, because we only have informal contact with school bus maintenance folks when we do visit to inspect their buses. Also, in order to inspect all these buses, there's approximately 13,000 of them annually. We need to set appointments to come in and inspect these fleets of buses, and the folks know we're coming, so they prepare for us. So the week generally before we come, they are doing maintenance on their buses. What we'd like to do is train these school bus maintenance folks, certify them to do the inspections, and then have oversight over those inspectors, and then recertify them every 2 years. We've seen this work in the general commercial vehicle industry. It's greatly improved truck equipment and truck safety, and we'd like to include them in this program.
Questions?
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Cook, was this proposal part introduced as a bill?
Mr. Chair, Senator Rest. I am not clear. It came to Senator Ortman, and since she's not here today, I'm offering it, but I don't believe... I'm not certain that it was.
Yes, it was.
It was. Sorry, Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
Sir, did we hear the bill in the Transportation Committee?
No, we did not hear it. No.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, no, it was not heard by the Transportation Committee.
Senator Olsen.
I have a question regards to, I think in the truck industry, you know, the certificate, the inspectors, their license is on the line. So I don't suspect there's going to be a lot of fraud, but I'm concerned that in the recent, that bus accident where they were using, looked like a different brake parts and stuff like that. My concern is that if would they be able to get away with this more often if they're doing their own inspection?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olsen, through our experience with the industry and our training recertification, many of these maintenance issues come to our attention long before incidents happen. It's our belief that if we would have had these folks incorporated into our training program, we would have learned of this maintenance technique long before that incident happened. And subsequently, we did learn of it after the crash and took a number of steps to correct that statewide.
Mr. Witness, can you give me your name again, please? What was your name again?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Ken Urquhart.
Urquhart.
Urquhart. U-R-Q-U-H-A-R-T.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Urquhart. Senator Olsen.
The follow-up then, so you're saying then you believe that if this would have been in place, they would have understood that because of training that this is an inappropriate thing to do and they wouldn't have done something like that.
Mr. Rickard.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olsen, basically yes to your question. Through our training and recertification, we interact with those people formally, and it happens very frequently. We learn about vehicles that are manufactured that don't comply with federal motor vehicle safety standards, maintenance that's being done in vehicles that it's inappropriate for the purposes of safety. So we learn this through our training and contact with those people. The school bus folks that actually maintain the school buses, we don't have that formal contact with them in basically in the classroom and through oversight. And that's what we're looking for here.
Thank you.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Captain Urquhart. How will this change the way we inspect buses? And I know this is an enormous job for the patrol, but there's I think I share some of the concerns that Senator Olsen has over time, that we're turning inspections over to the entity that owns and operates. And while I think most of those folks aren't going to go out looking for an opportunity to skirt the rules, over time, entities have budgets and things can get squeezed, and yet State Patrol has always provided, at least for a number of members, the confidence that there's a real check and balance in the system. So I guess I'm looking for a little bit of assurance that we're still going to have as high a level of accountability if this becomes law.
Captain Urquhart.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Larson, we expect if this was to be enacted, we would not be stopping our inspection process. We would still be inspecting school buses on a regular basis. It just would be that we wouldn't be scheduling them. We would be inspecting them at probably promptly, unannounced, to ensure that they're maintaining their buses. The thing this does for the school bus industry, it also allows them some flexibility. For instance, in my community in Forest Lake where I live, they have a fleet of 150 buses at the school district. They have to have those buses prepared for us for a three-day period. And it's a great cost to them to get them all ready all at one time. This would allow them to manage their fleet through their maintenance programs throughout the year. We're not going to stop inspecting buses. We will be inspecting them, but we just would prefer not to be on a schedule. And then we're going to be able to determine who has a good maintenance program and who doesn't, and then work with them through training to improve those programs.
Senator Larson.
Mr. Chair and Captain Urquhart, that is helpful. I guess the other concern that I'd have is now that the department isn't mandated or the patrol isn't mandated to do this function, but the patrol leaders, at least at this time, have the plan to continue to have the same complement doing that. What assurance do we have that in the future, when budget constraints are pressuring the patrol of DPS, that we won't see this eroded in terms of your inspectors to do other needed functions?
Captain,
obviously, I'm concerned about us, either in the short term or the long term, having a less safe system. It may be the way you answered my question, that it could result in a safer system if they don't know when they'll be inspected. And I understand that if school districts, and I speak as a former school bus driver from the days that I was in college, it was an experience I'd recommend for many to seasons you for many things in life. It's quite an experience. But, it's obviously very important that these buses are in the working order that they should be in. And I think so I guess that's what I'm looking for here. Maybe you can provide some help there.
Captain Urquhart.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Larson, and I'll give you a little history. In the last several years, we have seen a number of serious crashes involving school buses, a number of fatalities where buses have been involved in crashes with other vehicles, running over their own children. And through the information from these crashes, it's very clear to us that the key piece in school bus safety is the actual driver of that school bus. And in Ham Lake, we did find some problem with maintenance. Well, once again, that's a human factor. That was a decision that was made to do that. The bus didn't fail. It was how the vehicle was maintained. right now we don't have a balanced program. We would like to focus more of our time toward school bus drivers, their education, reinforcing those safety methods and training that they are required to use. And we're seeing some issues there. We're seeing a number of problems with school bus drivers, and I think you might have seen some of the news reports on complying with traffic regulations, seatbelt use, railroad crossings. So it really does concern us when a school bus runs over one of the children that was riding on it and kills them. That's a driver error issue. And we're spending a great deal of time inspecting every bus every year, and I could show you the data. And of course, when they know we're coming, it's inspection after inspection after inspection of no violations. So we would like to really to balance our program. We're going to have a bus safety program as long as our agency exists. I can assure you that. But we really would like some flexibility here to improve the program, and I think that you understand that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, and I apologize. I kind of beamed in on this bouncing between two committees. But if the witness can answer, if anyone else can answer, what other inspection function like this do we go outside of those, you know, the agency that has the core responsibility? I'm thinking of like restaurant inspections. We don't have, you know, other folks inspect. You know, we make sure that that's a responsibility that we keep pretty closely to the agency that has the ultimate responsibility for that safety function. It seems odd that we would outsource such an important safety inspections function. You know, do we have any examples that give us some guidance that this is advisable?
Captain Urquhart.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble, about half of the school bus fleet that operates in Minnesota is privately owned. A number of those companies utilize those very school buses to do charter transportation and transport kids on other projects and whatnot. When they do that, they're required to be inspected through our existing annual inspection program. So basically that school bus goes through two inspections. Our inspection to be operated as a school bus, and then a second inspection that meets another criteria to be operated in a for-hire situation. So the industry, at least half the industry, is duplicating efforts here to meet a safety requirement. And to answer a question about an example where we might outsource a safety process or inspection, I can't give you one off the top of my head.
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't think this is necessarily well advised. I think, you know, ultimately, you know, the buck needs to stop with the agency that has the enforcement authority at some point. I mean, I appreciate that inspections are occurring within the fleets and the ownership of the fleets. That should occur, but ultimately, you know, someone with some real authority needs to be do the inspection, you know, for the purpose of enforcement.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I wasn't aware that you weren't in the room earlier, but this existing inspection program that we're asking to include the school bus folks in has been in existence in Minnesota with all other busing and trucking for about 17 years. And what we've seen through that history is we have seen those commercial vehicles, the condition, the maintenance of those vehicles improve greatly through this program. Because we train these inspectors initially and then certify them and then bring them back every 2 years and recertify them, and we have oversight over them. So we review their documents on a regular basis. We issue them decals that they have to track. And of course, through our roadside inspections and contact that complement that program, we start to detect who may be not performing the inspections like they should be, and we see them very early on. Because we see the result on the roadside when we examine the vehicles.
Well, Mr. Chair, the qualitative
Senator
difference
Dibble.
Here is that then you're detecting things after the fact, and you know that's some daunting in the light of the cargo in this instance is our little kids, our kids.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dibble, I think what we're trying to do here is get to the problem before something happens, and that's not what's happening. But if since this didn't receive a hearing, I'm willing to withdraw the amendment.
No, it's fine.
Oh, go ahead. Senator Rest is saying, all right, if she's comfortable. All right, well, then we'll leave it go back. But Senator Dibble, just so you, at first I was a little reticent to my first gloss look at this. I was like, well, why? But it really, I think, is designed that the State Patrol will still override and still inspect and have, they'll still be in the game, but they're trying to incorporate the maintenance people so that we avoid things like the Ham Lake incident, so we can stay ahead of that before something like that happens.
Right.
That's really the intention of this.
Well, I sense that the amendment's going to go in, Senator Mr. Dibble. Chair, so maybe we can have some maybe it won't. Okay. Well, if it does, I'll be interested in having a full-fledged hearing in the conference committee.
Senator Skoy has been waiting. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Captain Eckhart. You know, I committee members, I think when a parent puts his child on the school bus, they have should have every assurance that those children are going to be safe during the day. And having the State Patrol inspect these buses, I think, are part of that assurance that the state provides. Now, Captain Earhart, I can understand that you want to spend more time with driver training. I can understand that you want to have unscheduled inspections. All of that makes sense. But somebody is going to be compensated to do these inspections and do these unscheduled inspections. And before I could support this, I'd like to know what the fiscal impact would be to having the State Patrol doing that. None of that has been spelled out. We haven't had any discussion of that in the committee, and I wouldn't be supporting this amendment as it currently is presented.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Murphy.
I know this kind of gives some folks a little pause. You know, the one thing that I'm worried about is if we put this amendment on and Senator Wieger sees it, he's going to want the whole bill to come over to his committee. And at this point in the game, I don't think that we have enough time to be doing that.
Well, then
I do believe that the State Patrol brings forward a program that is proven to work. Senator Skoy and Senator Dibble, you both raised good points. But at this time, if Senator Koch, if you would withdraw the amendment, I would feel a little more comfortable. But that doesn't mean that this issue is not going to go away.
Well,
we can have a hearing next week or whatever and bring this bill up and then send it to rules and try to get it through the process. But, I mean, we might be a little close to the accelerator on this one.
Senator Koch.
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, then with those assurances that we will discuss, because as a parent with a daughter that rides the bus every day, I definitely have some, you know, I have some skin in this game, and I would like to have the discussion. So with those assurances, I'll withdraw the amendment.
Senator Koch withdraws the A6 amendment.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
I have another oral amendment.
Senator Rest has an oral
this
amendment.
This is on page 44, and it has to do with the Airport Funding Advisory Task Force. And I would like to delete subdivision 4, which deals with per diem expenses for the public members. The stakeholders groups have indicated to me that that's not necessary. It wasn't part of the original bill and was just added in the transportation policy bill. So, Mr. Chairman, I would move to delete lines 4420 and 4421, which is subdivision 4.
Senator Rest moves to delete lines 44.20 and 44.21, and that would require renumbering subdivision 5 to subdivision 4. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, I've got the A17 amendment.
Senator Murphy moves the A17 amendment.
And Mr. Chairman and members, while this is being passed out, I believe this was a bill that Senator Solon had, and this is it's the Walter Mondale Drive up in Duluth, and we heard this and passed it along, but you know, it's one of those things that's not picked up any steam over the house, so we'll put it in our bill and see if we can't influence them a little bit.
Thank you. Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
I'll second the A17 amendment. Walter Mondale lives in my district, so.
Yeah.
So. Is there any discussion? Put that in the minutes, but I need my name attached to this somehow. So.
Senator Dibble, you want this, your name attached to this.
Can I move it? Can I move it, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
I move the A17 amendment.
Senator Dibble moves the A17 amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. The motion passes. Senator Scoy.
Mr. Chair, I have the A2 amendment.
Senator Scoy moves the A2 amendment.
And members, while this is being passed out, this is Senate File 438 that passed out of this committee. It did have a couple of tax provisions in it at that time, which I removed from the bill, so it passed on and is residing in the Tax Committee. We had extended discussion about this bill. This is the bill that would allow forest industry product and ag products to go to 7 axles and 97,000 pounds.
And Mr. Chairman,
Senator Murphy,
Senator Scoy, this is Senator Saxog's bill, paper products.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, this is Senator Saxog's bill, which I had an amendment that I offered to that was also a Senate file that is residing in the Transportation Committee.
Senator Bronoff.
Mr. Chair and Senator Scoy, I remember, you know, we had a lot of testimony on this bill, and it was very contentious and controversial, and I wasn't quite sure where I stood on this bill. I spent a lot of time listening and weighing the facts, and then after this, I've gotten maybe 200 emails from people all around the state with concerns about this bill, and I had an occasion to meet with a constituent of mine who owns a trucking company and have really spent considerable amount of time since our committee meeting, and so I would at this point have to oppose this amendment because of the safety concerns, the concerns for our roads, and things that I had minor concerns about before that committee meeting, but after talking to many people. So I was relieved that it wasn't part of the big bill and do have that concern.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chair and Senator Bonoff, I would just like to remind you that with regard to the wear on the road, there is a pavement impacts factor. It's called equivalent single axle load. And with regard to a 5-axle truck hauling 80,000 pounds, that factor is 2.4, that is reduced to 1.5, so there actually is less wear on the road. They will comply with all bridge load requirements that are currently in place. They do have more braking power because they're adding axles and brakes, and the part of the safety equation that I'd like to remind the committee about is the 12% less trucks on the road, which really is a significant number. And they're not changing the size of the truck or anything like that, but would just like the committee to consider this.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would speak in favor of the amendment. They are safer. They do have less impact on the road, and it's kind of this mutually assured destruction kind of a deal. Hey, you know, even though we hear from some highway patrol and people, there's no evidence that you get less killed from an 80,000-pound truck than a 93,000-pound truck. So that's kind of a moot argument. They do have way more braking power than one with less axles. And those emails, yeah, I got several hundred of those emails. It was interesting to note that the bulk of them, over 90% of them, were from railroad workers that were, you know, trying to make sure all the business went to the railroad.
Well, Mr. Chairman, anytime we can take a lick at a railroad, it's probably a good
Senator
day
Murphy.
Transportation.
Right. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Chair. I got all those emails, too. A couple of them actually came from my district, which was interesting. You know, and I've been mulling this one over, and, of course, you know, the one argument that was made for this when it was presented in committee was that there would be an beneficial environmental impact because there need to be fewer truck hauls, which is persuasive, but, you know, the railroads, I think made the case in their own self-interest that some of their business would be drawn away And in fact, we'd see more truck traffic as a result of freight coming off of the railroads, which, you know, I don't think anyone can argue that, that hauling freight on rail is environmentally more preferable to hauling freight on trucks. So do we have an answer to that question?
Senator Scoy.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Dibble, there are very, very few railroads traveling from the farm field to the elevator or to the sugar beet plant. I mean, they just don't exist. Okay. So I think that there's not much argument there. Right.
Thanks.
Senator Murphy. Senator Langseth.
Mr. Chairman, I think the problem with this politically is a perception problem. And I think is when you really look at the facts in the matter, it's not less safe, it's more safe, and there will be fewer truck hauls on the road. So I think if you get past the perception, I think it's good legislation.
Oh, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Murphy.
You know, we had a lot of discussion on this bill in committee. I think we probably spent an hour and a half or 2 hours on it one day, and, I mean, it's been around ever since I've been on the Transportation Committee. We hear about truck weights every year, and we all know how we're going to vote here. You know, I've traditionally have not been too excited about this, but, you know, if it's part of the bill, we're gonna fight for it just like we will all the other provisions. But, Mr. Chairman, I think we should probably just vote and move along.
I did have a question.
Senator Olsen.
I did have one point, if I might briefly bring up, and that's the concern about the chicken and egg. If the interstate system were allowing heavier trucks, I would be much more open to this. But with the interstate system being at 80,000, then we are specifically targeting these heavier trucks off of the interstate system. So they're going through towns where there's more stopping, more braking, and all of those kinds of things. So I think at some point in the future, if the interstate system went to a higher weight, I'd be more open. I would probably be supportive of this. But under this circumstance, I can't support these increased weights.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Scoy.
Mr. Chair and Senator Olsen, you know, we've talked about this before. The interstate system does travel across the state in three different areas. For those of us that do not have an interstate in our area, we're already at a significant enough economic disadvantage. I think that this would bring a little bit of equity and let the federal government determine what they're going to do on their roads.
Any other discussion? Senator Scoy moves the A2 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Aye. No.
The motion passes.
Division.
Division. Well, all those in favor, raise your hand. Raise high. All those opposed, raise your hands high. The chair votes no.
9-9.
Motion does not pass.
Mr. Chairman, I have the A15 amendment.
Senator Murphy moves the A15 amendment.
Mr. Chairman and members, the A15 amendment is this is an amendment, and it you know, it starts down there on line 30 of the amendment. But what it actually does is it triples the fine in a work zone. Now we can bring the State Patrol up here, and we can talk about work zone safety. And there are just some people out there that don't get it. They don't understand that you need to slow down and pay attention and try to protect some of those workers in that work zone. So we tried doubling the fine. That seemed to not work. So let's try tripling the fine. And even though it says double down there, Ms. Berzovsky can explain it so that you understand that it's actually triple. I mean, you get the fine, and then you, and then it's doubled, and then it's hit again, so it's triple. I think that's kind of how it goes. But Ms. Berzovsky assures me that this triples the fine in a work zone. And we had all these construction people out here today, and, you know, there's several different and so what we did was I think Ms. Ball or Ms. Russell, one of the two, went and looked up some information about what other states do. And we're actually kind of behind the times by only doubling the fine in a work zone. There's some states like Illinois that if you're proven to be grossly negligent in that work zone and you hit someone, it's a minimum $10,000 fine and 5 years in jail, or 3 years in jail. You know, and since we don't have the negligent portion of our law that can be used appropriately, because nobody wants to send anybody to jail for not paying attention to what they're doing, I think that at least through work zones, let's try to keep our workers safe. I mean, you know, sometimes they're 6 to 8 inches away from cars buzzing by them at 65 miles an hour, and that's just it's stupid.
Senator Watt.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Senator Murphy, is it your intent that depending on the types of amendments that go on this bill, that you would try to get this to judiciary?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman and Madam Chairman, I would hope not to have to go to judiciary because we're going to triple a fine in a work zone, but maybe we should talk about that.
Senator Murphy, you're Senator Warren.
I'm not, Mr. Chairman, Senator Murphy, I'm not hostile to your intent here, but I also understand that, you know, this amendment, and perhaps there might be others, that will have some judicial impact, and I would make my argument here, and if you said it's your intent to send the bill, then I'll let this go, and I won't object to the other ones or comment on the other ones that are either had preceded or are going to be coming onto this bill. But I have a concern if we're tripling a fine and we're doing it within, you know, 609. I think that the Judiciary Committee members might have some concern that I didn't raise an objection.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Moore, I understand that. You know, we can always have, I don't know what the schedule is of your committee if you have any more meetings, but we can always have an informational meeting to discuss this if you'd like. But I do believe it's important and would like to go forward.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
Not particularly to this amendment, but to the issue that Senator raises. I noticed at the end of the bill that starting with section 84, which doesn't correspond to 82, which does not correspond to the summary, but there's lots and lots of language about the Department of Public Safety doing rulemaking, and I don't recall seeing this bill in the state and local government committee, and I'm concerned that there's lots of directions about rulemaking here and directing the Commissioner of Public Safety to revise rules that we haven't looked at either. So I'm just for the sake of continuing that, I do have some concerns, and also The other amendment, which actually Senator Koch did indeed withdraw, also had a subdivision dealing with rulemaking, and so that one's gone. But this is a pretty big deal here. So I just bring the caution up again that Senator Moore did.
Not trying to cause any trouble. Maybe Ms. Berzosky can kind of give us a little insight on the language on page 47.
Ms. Berzosky.
Mr. Chair and Senators, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe that this the rulemaking provision is part of Senate File 647, that is the school bus. The school bus bill that was heard in Transportation Committee last week and sent to the floor. It had second reading on the floor.
Well, it's...
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Murphy, I must not have been paying attention because all of that kind of language should have been included. I mean, should have brought at least 647 to the state government committee. I'm not sure what the solution is here.
Mr. Chair,
I don't need, I don't want to see your bill, but this is a lot of stuff.
Senator Murphy.
Let's do this. Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw the A-15 amendment and move to strike the language in section 82.
That's it.
83 and 84. I think that would do it.
No,
is it?
We don't need to. 83.
It's just 82.
Just 82. I'm sorry, not 83. I believe that's Senator Gimsey's bill there. Yeah, that's. We'll leave that in there.
This is correct.
The entirety.
Just section 82.
Senator Murphy withdraws the A-15 amendment and moves to strike in the A-1 amendment, the original bill, section 82 in its entirety, which goes from 47.5 through 48.3. Any discussion? Senator Olsen.
Help. What happens to that bus stuff?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Berzosky said that this bill has gotten second reading and it's on the Senate floor.
So it's already gone through?
Well, it's on the Senate floor, so hopefully it gets done.
Is that maybe not for long.
Oh. Might take a little trip.
Oh, well.
Oops. Mr. Chairman, Senator Olsen, that was my fault. I should have picked up on that and sent it to Senator Rest's committee right away. So.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I just wondered where it goes.
Okay.
Senator Dibble.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, we can take the vote first, and then I have an amendment to offer.
Okay. We're going to vote on the oral amendment deleting section 82. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Same sign. Motion passes. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have the A-12 amendment.
Senator Dibble moves the A-12 amendment.
While this is being handed out, Mr. Chair, the A-12 amendment replaces Section 73, which corresponds to my Senate file 1111, which was an agency bill that has to do with it's a Met Council bill that has to do with doing these performance evaluations. What was previously a performance audit, which was, expensive and separate from another process that they undertake regularly, which is updating their transportation plan, and melds those two together, calls it a performance evaluation, takes it in-house. But what this amendment does is provide some provision for some external scrutiny of the performance evaluation. So you'll see in 1.25 to 1.29 the peer review performance evaluation submission to to the relevant committees, as well as the ranking minority members of the committees here at the legislature. And this is language that was agreed to in consultation with stakeholders and advocates with the Met Council. It's agreeable to all parties.
Senator Dibble moves the A-12 amendment.
And Mr. Chair, it corresponds to language that has been worked out in the other body as well.
Any discussion? Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move the A-18 amendment.
Senator Scoy moves the A-18 amendment.
And members, while this is being passed out, I will try again with a Senator Saxog bill. This is Senate File 470. It's a bill dealing with the truck corridor between Grand Rapids and the Port of Duluth. It's passed off the Senate floor unanimously. Something happened with the House file. I'm not exactly sure what the problem was over there, but I was going to try to include this in this bill for Senator Saxog to keep this alive.
Any discussion on the A-18 amendment? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cook.
I'd be Senator Fischbach, Mr. Chair. But that's, Mr. Chair, I have the A-5 amendment.
Senator Fischbach moves the A-5 amendment.
Mr. Chair, this is the administrative fines bill that we did a few weeks ago. Senator Foley had a bill that would have stopped administrative fines, and we amended this to the bill allowing administrative fines and clearing up the language for those cities since it is kind of a gray area. So we've had discussion about this at the committee. And I think most folks know where they stand on it, but I do think this is the time. You know, so we've passed this bill out of here, and this year, and I believe 2 years ago, something. If it wasn't this legislation, it was something very similar 2 years ago. So I think now's the time we clear this up for those cities and get rid of that gray area in our law.
Mr.
Senator Murphy.
Well, Mr. Chairman. And I told Senator Fischbach that we would give her and somebody else had, Senator Coring, I believe, had a bill that was very similar, that we would hear those bills since the Foley bill crashed and burned, unfortunately due to time constraints and committee deadlines and stuff, that we haven't been able to make that happen. Now, everybody here knows that I don't much care for this, but once again, if the committee voted pretty overwhelmingly to change Senator Foley's bill from barring administrative fines to making it okay. Well, Senator Foley decided that he didn't want to carry that because that was 180 degrees different than what he had come to the committee with. If the committee's wish is to put it in the bill, we'll do the best we can to keep it in there.
Senator Moore.
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, I'll raise the same concern that I had with your A-15 amendment, that if it's not your desire to send the entire bill to the Judiciary Committee, then I would in a friendly way oppose this amendment on your behalf, but I'll have to ask for it.
I understand.
Any other discussion on the A-5 amendment? Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, I too oppose this amendment and have heard from my cities who don't support this amendment. So so I too oppose the amendment.
Any other discussion? Senator Fischbach moves the A-5 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign?
No.
Division.
We have a division.
Have you, Mr. Chairman, you had to make a ruling before the division.
He was too, too fast.
Thank you.
So obvious.
I think Senator, I don't think Senator yes. Fischbach trusts your hearing.
Okay. Well, I rule that the amendment did not pass. So would you like to have a
division?
Division. All those in favor, raise your hand high. All those opposed, raise your hand. Vote being 8 in favor and 9 opposed, the amendment does not pass.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
I have the A-19 amendment.
A-19. Senator Rest moves the A-19 amendment.
Mr. Chairman, this is a bill that Senator Tomassoni brought to us a number of weeks ago with regard to transportation contracts, setting up some policy with regard to reviewing those costs, particularly with regard to privatization.
Thank you.
And the bill did pass the committee.
Senator Rest moves the A-19 amendment. Any discussion?
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Senator Olsen.
This is the one we had the hearing on with the guys talking about fixing the guardrails and all that kind of stuff. Is that correct?
Senator Rest?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olsen, your recollection is better than mine. I don't recall that. But we did have testimony from, in particular, from AFSCME in support of this bill. That's the testimony in particular that I remember.
Yeah, Senator Olsen, follow up?
I think that's hard because they were all sitting here saying, you know, we would fix the guardrail and they'd delay it for 2 years because they'd build up enough to have a contract and then send it out on a contract. So, okay. Just trying to remember.
And Mr. Chairman and committee
Senator
members,
Murphy.
Just in fairness sake, the department opposes this.
Any other discussion on the A-19 amendment?
Mr. Chairman, Ms.
We're going to see this again.
Ms. Parker would like to say a word or two.
Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Betsy Parker from MnDOT. I just would like to remind the committee that this bill will cost the department about $500,000 a year just to implement. And that has nothing to do with the cost of delaying work in order to do it in-house instead of out, or the fact that this affects about 335 contracts a year, many of which have nothing to do with work that is done by AFSCME members. And we acknowledge that it does affect work done by AFSCME members, and I have repeatedly offered to meet. Today I talked to Ms. Blyle about it, and we are going to talk about it, but I just wanted to refresh your recollection about the department's concerns about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair? Sorry.
Senator Olsen.
Well, if MnDOT's concern is that there are things in the proposal that wouldn't be in-house under any circumstance, that would be a – if I heard her right, that's what she was saying. There's a number of the things that would be have to be subjected to this wouldn't be done in-house under any circumstance. So I'm just wondering if there's something that could clean this language up so it didn't include, like, you know, a $10 billion bridge project or something like that. I guess I'm addressing that to Ms. Parker.
Ms. Parker, would you like to answer?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olsen, it would, I think, be possible to clean the language up some It would take some work to do so. But I think it's important to understand that although it does include contracts that we would outsource because we don't have the expertise in-house, for example, environmental remediation, things like that, it also would include things where we have always traditionally outsourced a certain percentage of the work. And the disagreement with the members of AFSCME is over the fact that we are now outsourcing more than we habitually outsourced, and they find that that does not help their members. And so the contracts affected by this bill fall into those two categories, those we do not have the capacity to do in-house, and those, for example, highway design work, where we've always outsourced some, and now we are outsourcing more than we used to.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Chairman, once again, Senator the reason Murphy. Why we're outsourcing more of the work is the ebb and flow of money. You know, if you had a flat line of a steady stream of real money instead of funny money, you would be able to keep a full complement of people and be able to attack the majority of the work that Ms. Parker is talking about. But because the funding cycle is like this, you know, you bring on a bunch of people and then you got to lay them off a couple years later, and then you have to look around to find, you know, appropriate people to do the work. And, you know, so it's this and the funding mechanism that's caused a lot of this problem. I know that AFSCME and many of the people, not only AFSCME folks, but, you know, people inside the department, outside the department, are not happy with the funding cycle going like this because it's feast and famine, and there's not enough eating being done. Put it that way, and you know, this is a funding problem. I think Ms. Boyle probably has a few comments to make as well.
Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. I'm Julie Boyle, Legislative Director for AFSCME Council 5, and just like to indicate that from where this bill began to where it is today, it has been significantly pared down, and what we're trying to get at is the work that AFSCME members do. And in that, there is an exclusion for design-build contracts in this bill, as well as what we have tried to do is define some of the work. And I would urge you to leave the bill as it is written and move it forward. And now, Mr. Chairman, I just make one additional comment. We have agreed with Senator Rest and the engineers to work on language from the amendment that was put on in the committee during your last committee hearing when this bill was heard, and those discussions will take place, and we've agreed to sit down and work something out.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, I know that
Senator Murphy.
Putting things on bills and then kind of working them as it goes through the process is, you know, that's not everybody's cup of tea, but, you know, there are a couple things that I think that would need to happen, but we'll need a day or two to flesh them out to make this, kind of sway some of the concerns that Ms. Parker has. We're not going to get to all of them, but I think that there's probably a little room to tweak a few things here, and if this goes on, we'll take care of that before we get to the floor, maybe in Senator Moy's committee or Senator Rest's committee.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd just like to make the comment that I had tried to work with Ms. Parker and Senator Tomasoni last year to come up with some of these things to simplify this, and I always get frustrated when whoever Senator Tomasoni's been working with on things. These reports can be simplified. Right now, I agree with Ms. Parker, the way it's set up, it actually would cause more people to lose their job than gain the work because of the amount of reporting and the way the contracts would have to be done. There is much simpler language that can be used. I fully support adding more people on the ground, getting work back internally, because I think there's proven results internally that we can do better jobs on a lot of these things. But I do not support the amendment as written. I agree it would cost more money to implement it the way it's written than it's worth in terms of jobs. It's just not...
Mr. Chairman, in Senator regards Murphy. To the cost, on lines 1.25, let's strike the words "and must be" at the end of the sentence, and then strike 1.26, that entire line. And if you don't have to publish that information in the State Register, that's going to save some money.
Senator Rest, would you like to make that motion yourself?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Murphy, Senator Waugh, I'm sure Senator Waugh is going to raise the same concerns about the classification of the data itself. And my question would be, where is this bill in terms of the process right now? Is it in the Judiciary Committee, and has it been considered by the Data Practices Subcommittee, and when did the bill get there? Or where is it? If you know.
Could we be a little bit quieter over there, please? Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Murphy.
I don't know if this is a data privacy issue.
But it deals with classification of data. If you see line 124, it talks about non-public data, and I didn't even notice that myself until right now, until you directed my attention to whether we should be publishing it or not.
But
I mean, I'm going to vote for my amendment, but I, you know, to make sure that we have all the cards on the table here.
Mr. Chair,
Senator
in this context,
Senator Olsen.
Thank you, Mr. Sorry. Chair. But in this context, being non-public data, it's just probably a sealed bid that as soon as the bid's open, it's public data.
Right.
So does that still need more scrutiny or?
Well, Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure whether it is just describing, and I guess I would ask Ms. Parker that, unless Senator Watt knows also, is this just describing current practice with regard to cost estimates of other kinds or not, or is it adding to the law?
Ms. Parker.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Rest, I believe that this adds a new data classification. Right now, Section 13.72 in the Data Practices Act classifies Department of Transportation data, and one of the subdivisions specifically addresses the engineer's estimate with respect to construction contracts. But I'm not aware of any specific provision that addresses our estimates for the cost of consultant, professional, and technical contracts, and I believe that information would be public now. What this language does is it doesn't address whether or not the bid is public. It addresses whether or not the commissioner's estimate of the cost of doing the consulting work is public or not, and it makes it non-public, which it is not right now. So this creates a new data classification.
Senator Moore.
Mr. Chair, I was going to make the comment. I know Senator Rest didn't see it, but I had actually marked it on the page. And I was going to ask either Ms. Parker or Ms. Berzovsky that question. It did appear to me that it was creating a new classification. And I think the Data Practices Committee would just, you know, like to give it some scrutiny if that was the case. So,
Mr. Chair, I wonder if Council knows where Senator Thomas, maybe Ms. Blyle knows where Senator Tomasoni's bill is at this moment.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Blyle. Senator Tomasoni's bill was laid over for inclusion in the omnibus bill at the committee hearing when his bill was heard in this committee hearing. And I want to just emphasize that the last couple of years, this bill, a similar bill, has moved through and never gone through data practices, has always come to this committee, and last year was rolled into the omnibus bill and went straight to the floor.
Ms. Berezovsky.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I just had a comment, and I on the reference to Section 13. Under 13.72, that is the Transportation Department data provision. It says estimates for construction projects. An estimate of the cost of a construction project of the Minnesota Department of Transportation prepared by department employees is non-public data and is not available to the public from the time of final design until the project is awarded.
So, Ms. Berzovsky, this doesn't change what is in current law. Is that what you're saying?
Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Parker.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Moi, it does not change the existing provision with respect to the classification of estimates, engineers' estimates for construction projects. It creates a new classification for MnDOT department estimates of the cost of professional technical contracts, which are different. There is an existing section of law that deals with the classification of bids provided in response to requests for proposals for professional technical contracts, but this doesn't address that either. This would create something new.
Mr. Chair, I would like to I would like to call my data practice counsel. I'll be right back. If Senator Rest would be willing to progress this and
Mr.
move
Chairman,
the
I'll with,
discussion
I'll
along.
Temporarily withdraw the amendment.
Senator Rest temporarily withdraws the A-19 amendment. Senator Dibble.
Well, during the pause, then I'll offer an amendment if we may.
Sure.
I'll offer the A-20 amendment.
Senator Dibble offers the A-20 amendment.
Mr. Chair, while it's being passed around, this is a significantly stripped-down version of the rail safety bill that we heard in committee a few weeks ago, establishing the position of rail safety inspectors in the state of Minnesota, as urged by the federal agency. And it eliminates all of the establishment of the new walkways that remember Senator Scoy was worried about. But it does keep in some language around keeping walkways smooth and safe and free of obstacles and that sort of thing. And it sets some standards for making sure that those walkways are easily traversed by folks on feet according to various standards and specifications and the like.
Senator Dibble moves the A-20 amendment. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair.
On the A-20 amendment, all those in favor? Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Dibble, I do see there is one slight change that we're now establishing two safety inspectors.
Oh, thank you.
One.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Yes, we're establishing two positions instead of one, so that we'd be more consistent with what other states have done, spreading the work out a little bit. There's, needless to say, plenty of work to be done.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Murphy.
I think this amendment, I think Senator Dibble's worked it over, and it's probably good to go here. The one thing that I will say is that because of the testimony that we took in committee, it sure appeared when it comes to railroad safety that everybody was pointing the finger at somebody else and nobody wanted to take responsibility. I think it's imperative of our committee to take a little bit of responsibility. So we want two federal inspectors here, period. Some of this other language that's in here just deals with, a lot of times these people are working on trains, and we've all seen them. They hop off one portion of the train's still rolling. They run to the other end of the train to hop on or uncouple trains or whatever. And sometimes, they look like O.J. Simpson going through an airport. I mean, they have to jump over stuff, run around things. All they're saying is in regards to the walkway portion of this, is that if there's an obstruction there, get it out of the way. Now, what's wrong with that? Now, I know that there's probably going to be somebody come up and say, oh, no, this is bad for business, but members, I want to see this in the bill.
Any further discussion? All those in favor of the A-20 amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, say same sign.
No.
The amendment passes.
Some of that back row voting. Yeah.
Senator Moy. it's not back yet.
Mr. Chairman, if there's a lull in the action, I know that we're getting close to being adjourned. I had a couple other amendments, folks. One of them would definitely send the bill to another committee. Digging through here, I'm not going to be able to find it. No, I threw it in this pile. Here it is. And it had to deal with, you know, we've been trying to take care of this town road extinguishment thing. That's definitely going to take this bill to another committee. I was going to offer it up and then beg the chair of the other committee not to pull it in, but I'm not even going to offer it up. But the one that I do want to highlight, and, you know, this is a little controversial, I'll admit that, but it's the A3 amendment. I'm going to offer it up, and I'm going to hope that the folks around the committee here understand the concept that we're getting at. It's pretty simple. It says that if the Met Council goes out for a procurement of $125 million or more, so this isn't everyday stuff, this is big ticket items, it just says the commission shall review all procurements over $125 million by the Metropolitan Council. And folks, we just had maybe a major faux pas, maybe not, maybe there was nothing done that was wrong, but we're buying our next round of buses from an out-of-state company when the exact same bus is, for less cost, by the way, is provided for by a manufacturer right here in Minnesota. So we're going to buy somebody else's buses to drive on our highways. You know, we have a bus company up there in St. Cloud. Now, you know, there's going to be other people that are going to say, oh, no, the designs were totally different, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's a bunch of hogwash. Folks, if we need to provide oversight or have someone provide oversight on the expenditures at the Met Council or the Transportation Department, that's supposed to be our job. We're supposed to do our job. This bill puts a couple other things in play before those procurements are made so that maybe there's a fresh set of eyes that can look at these things. That's all there is to it.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I support the notion that is here. We have had bills prior to this, however, which abolished this commission. And I'm not going to get into that, the rationale for that now, but what we did in the bill that abolished that Commission on Metropolitan Governance was to put the oversight responsibilities back where they belong, and that is, in my mind, in the legislative committees in both the House and the Senate that have oversight and jurisdiction over the Metropolitan Council. But insofar as this would be a new duty, whether it was of this commission, if it survives, which I hope it does not, because I think it's duplicative of the responsibility that should be done by the House and Senate committees that have jurisdiction over the Metropolitan Council, it seems to me that this is not this sends a message that probably is an appropriate one to the Met Council, whether it is done by this commission, which again I hope goes out of existence, or whether it's done by the committee. So I'm going to support the amendment because this is in current law who currently would have that kind of oversight. I hope we return it to the legislative committees, however.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and maybe Ms. Berezovsky can help me with this.
Senator Murphy.
You know, down there on line 16, it says a commission shall review all procurements. What if we just struck commission and put legislature? That doesn't work.
Ms. Berezovsky.
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, that wouldn't work because it's in the section of law
that deals with the commission.
It establishes the Legislative Commission on Metropolitan Government. So the whole thing would disappear if the commission disappeared. It might be possible to to put something in Chapter 473 on procurements that would require that the Met Council to submit proposed procurements to the legislative committees, except that for the half of the year that the legislature is not in session. But
Mr. Chairman, I'm not suggesting changing this amendment. I'm just letting you know that as the session goes along, that bill may be coming up, and I would, and I hope it's going to be successful. And as this bill is being negotiated, at that point, it may be proper to put this oversight issue in another chapter of the law so that it doesn't go out of existence and that there's no conflict. But I'm just letting you know what else is happening with regard to this commission.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd go ahead and renew my motion to adopt the A3 amendment, and I'll seek some counsel from Senator Rest on how to make this work. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, even and again, I'm supporting it. The Senate has already passed the bill to abolish this commission, so we do have a position on it, but I think that this is appropriate way to state the need for this oversight under current law.
Senator Rest, in the bill that's been passed, is there a transfer of that responsibility to another body?
Yes, transferred the oversight. This language is transferred to the legislative committees that have oversight over the Metropolitan Council, which is the state and local government in the Senate, and the local government committee in the House. The one part of the Metropolitan Council that we do not have jurisdiction over is the Metro Transit, and that those things sometimes get mixed up. But this does not talk about procurement for buses. This talks about procurements, period. So it's appropriate here, et cetera. But I just a little bit of history and what the Senate has actually already acted on, and I believe that vote was nearly unanimous.
So, Senator Rest, so your understanding that if this amendment goes on, then and the Legislative Commission on Metropolitan Government goes away, it automatically transfers the responsibilities to the legislature committees.
No, but there, Mr. Chairman, but there would be later on, and before we adjourn, there would be a way of making sure that this oversight is there, whether it is in the commission or whether it is in the legislative committees. I don't mean to confuse things. I just want to make sure we're aware of it.
Senator Olsen.
I support the idea behind this, but if I'm sitting over at the MTC and I'm going to buy a bunch of new buses, then all of a sudden I'm just going to split my bid and say, you know what, I'm going to get $60 million worth and $65 million worth, and, you know, kind of skirt the process. And that's my concern. I mean, that's what I would do, wouldn't you?
No.
Senator Dahl.
Well, that was my question, too, Mr. Chairman. It's like, what was behind the thought that this was the threshold of $125 million? I mean, if...
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Dahl,
we, you know, first off, I don't think that we need to provide oversight for every post-it pad that the Met Council buys. So we wanted to set the threshold up high enough that we were just catching big-ticket items like a whole bunch of buses, $125 million worth of buses. Actually, it was more than that. But, you know, and I we would hope that the agencies that we work with here in the legislature, whether it's the Met Council or the Department of Transportation or the, you know, the old CFL or whoever, Health and Human Services, we would hope that they would do the best they can with the money that we provide. In this instance, I don't believe the best was done. As a matter of fact, I'll go on record right now saying that I think that things were done that probably shouldn't have been done. And I do believe that it's our responsibility as taxpayers' dollars, $125 million more than that, going out the door, going out of the state, And I think that it's our responsibility to kind of look through some of this and make sure that, one, the state's getting the best deal. And I think part of the state getting the best deal is to make sure that we buy homegrown products first and employ our own people instead of sending the money to wherever. I mean, you know, it's the same discussion that we had a couple years ago when we went to buy a new state airplane. And sometimes the devil is in those details of spec writing. They write a bunch of specifications, and it can be written so that only one company actually has a qualifying bid because of whatever reason. It could be a widget on the end of a wing or something, you know. And, you know, I think that we need to have oversight of that process and take a little look and make sure that, you know, first off, it's fair and it allows everybody to bid. But, you know, the priority should be. And yes, I realize that it was federal dollars that was spent on this, so you can't put a homegrown provision on it. But, you know, I still think that the number one thing that we should be thinking about, whether we're spending federal money or state money, is, you know, what about our local provider? I mean, can't we do business inside our own state? I mean, I think that's we should be doing that. I mean, you know, I've carried a bill. I think Senator Tomasoni has a bill to, you know, ban these flags that come into our state that are made in China. Says so you want to use U.S.-made flags. That seems like a no-brainer, but people want to fight stuff like that all the time. And we would like to buy Minnesota buses. You know, that's what this is. Let's buy Minnesota buses. You know, that contract's out the door, and we're probably a day late and a dollar short, or $125 million short. But, you know, I think in the future, moving forward, that we need to take a better look at this and make sure that everything was done fairly so that our homegrown talent actually has an opportunity to get a bid like that.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Senator Dahl.
Senator Murphy, I guess then I'm just, if I understand what your intent is and I agree with you, but I'm not sure that this does that, of just putting a dollar amount down here. The idea is not so much how much is spent, but, you know, how we were going about it and whether we were following the right provisions. And if we just, I mean, $50 million would be fine, too. Shouldn't we spend $50 million in the state? Or, I mean, so I'm not sure if we really get at that or will resolve that issue by just an amendment such as this.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dahl, I understand what you're saying. I mean, sometimes we have to fire a shot across the bow. Yeah. This is our shot.
Okay, we have to move along. Any other discussion? Okay, Senator Murphy moves the A3 amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. All right.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm going to take a little bit of chair option here. I have an A4 amendment I'd like to move.
Mr. Chairman, I'll offer the A4
like
amendment.
Yes.
You
okay.
Can't offer one.
Senator Murphy offers the A4 amendment.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, the A4 amendment is the pared-down Carlson bill about the concrete pumpers. And maybe the chair would like to explain what the pared-down version actually does.
Okay. Senator Murphy, thank you for offering the amendment. It's about the vehicle-mounted concrete pumps without placement booms. This is the specialized equipment that can travel over the road. And what we're doing is we're adding this is Section 19, Subdivision 22 for special equipment. We're adding this particular vehicle to the list of vehicles that does not require a over-the-road license. And what we've done is we have backed off on a on our insistence that this is for forever to a two-year expiring December 31st, 2009. And so what we'll do is we'll try this out. Senator Jungbauer.
Mr. Chair, I would speak to this amendment. Actually, I'm in favor of this amendment. I am have been working on revising this subdivision 22 because when this was first put into play, a lot of these specific apparatuses were off-highway things. There's a lot of them running without licenses today that are not off-highway vehicles anymore. Street sweeping vehicles are one of those where they were used to be designed to be trailered. Now a lot of them run on normal truck bodies. This is something where we need to make more details in those vehicles that are designed to run back and forth over our roads on normal truck chassis ought to be licensed under normal circumstances. But some of these concrete pumps are designed specifically for off-highway use and only travel at a slow speed back and forth. So some of them should be licensed, others shouldn't. So I'm in favor of this amendment because of the sunset and because we would be dealing with this section specifically and deciding how do we spell out which ones are worthy of a license and which ones don't operate specifically on the highways that often.
Any other discussion? Senator Olsen.
So in that line, at the expiration time, then are they expected by that time then they would have to have a license and be a licensed vehicle?
I would assume that when it says, Senator Olsen, I would assume that when it says expires that the next day they would have to have a license. Senator Jungbauer.
Mr. Chair, actually the anticipation is that the legislature working with industry would come up with some way of dealing with this. And part of it would be that the smaller ones that run to, say, several jobs a day would probably operate under a normal license. So the industry is expecting that we would come back with clarifications, and some of them would probably operate under a permit, under some kind of a heavy equipment permit or some type of a permit like a well drilling rig would operate under, where they still pay a fee but they have a permit instead of a license plate to operate. So we kind of anticipate coming up with something of a mixture that way in the interim.
Any other discussion? Senator Murphy offers the A4 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Chairman.
Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would reoffer the A-19 amendment, and I have an oral amendment. And that is on line 123 to delete the language after the period and then to delete lines 124, 125, 126. That removes the language with regard to classification of data, and council for the data practices folks say that would not occasion this bill. This would not make the bill have to go there. Doesn't mean that there isn't an issue, but it's something that would keep the discussion going on this bill without it having to go to the Judiciary Committee. So, Mr. Chairman, with that in mind, I offer the A-19 amendment as modified by deleting the sentence beginning on line 123, the cost estimate is.
Senator Rest offers the A-19 amendment modified beginning on line 123, starting with the cost estimate sentence, and deletes that entire sentence going on to 1.26. Any discussion on the amendment as modified? Senator Rest offers the A-19 modified amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if there's no more amendments, I would move that Senate File 1971 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Senate floor.
Senator Murphy moves that Senate File 1971 as amended be moved to the Senate floor. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Chairman.
The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Got that bill done.
Yeah. I know. I was looking at you and laughing, too.